Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody who knows this song, sing along.
Oh yeah, anybody that knows this song, which most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So if you all stand up.
Choose a pillow.
And thank everybody for being here. We're here once again. Yep. This Saturday night again. Second time I did that, but predict what was happening yesterday. You know, we have when we're on these spiritual journeys and events, things coming down, you know, sundowns in particular, never know. We don't go by time, you know, and it didn't work out, so I made a point to move it over tonight, and I know a lot of people usually tune in Saturdays, but never know, you know. I don't know what's happening. Looks like Wayne and Wayne and Philip showed up, so, you know. So I figure if they show up, more people, you know, might pick up on it too. And hope they do, and if they don't, you know, we'll see. And we'll see what the search engines bring up. But in the meantime, we're here, and, you know, just like any other time, you know, we're going to roll with it, you know, like it's any other time. You know, it's just, since it's Sunday, I hope some of you at least took off your Sunday dresses or your Sunday shirt and tie, you know. I mean, it's in the evening night. You should have took it off about 10 o'clock or at least by noon today, you know. So I don't care. You can go ahead and keep dressed for, you know, because it's Sunday. somebody said, I was looking, somebody must be getting treated bad. That just because your spouse is white doesn't mean you're better than other natives. You're the same. He must be talking about, you know, I mean, there's people like that, but I don't think it's because their spouse is white. They're like that anyway, you know. I don't think a spouse has much to do with how you are. Well, I take that back. A spouse can change your direction. You know, a spouse can interfere on things you do. But in general, you know, like in my case, you know, been around having many spouses. I keep going the same way, and I don't think I'm better than nobody else. You know, so don't be all paranoid, whoever you are. Don't worry about it. No biggie thing. There's more important things than you worrying about somebody treating you worse because he got, and I don't know about white. Remember I told you about that word white? If you got a white spouse, maybe that's good. It means he's clean and virgin and all that other stuff, you know. But, you know, don't worry about it. There's a lot of important things going on in this world, you know. One thing that I was going to touch on, you know, because recently I've been around a lot of, you know, going around different Sundances and being in different places. And some Sundances are already, you know, they have their own weird beliefs, you know, but what I wanted to mention was how the American creeps in to our way of life and uses other Indians to do this, you know. And like in case of Sundances, you know, those are traditional spiritual events, you know, and a lot of that American flag don't belong in these Sundances. They don't belong in powwows either, you know. But the reason why they're there is the veterans. You know, the veterans think because they served in the military, then it's okay. just because they did it, you know. But that's all right, you know. Some places do that and been doing that. And if you don't like it, just don't show up there, you know. But what gets me is recently I seen a Sundance that never flew the American flag at all, was, you know, real traditional. And they're, you know, suddenly veterans pull in and they change it. And they're, this year, this veteran went out there and was talking to the crowd and talking about, and he wasn't even Lakota. That's what got me. He's talking about, we took that flag and Wounded Knee and, I mean, Little Bighorn, so, you know, it's ours to fly, which is baloney. We're not, you know, I don't care what you think. You know, what you think. That flag does not belong in traditional Native, especially Lakota Sundances. That flag was our enemy. And that flag is still being flown in Washington, D.C. It's still being flown in Fort Campbell, you know, Fort Benning or whatever they call it, Fort Ord, Camp Pendleton, you know, Camp Lejeune, Fort Hood, you know. So what kind of dense brain do you have to justify that? I mean, insult everybody's intelligence. And everybody's intelligence, they're all in on it, you know. But that ain't the point. The point is how they come in like that, and next thing you know, we're under their occupation. You know, we're under their occupation. These Sundances are traditional places. They're not supposed to have no borders. I mean, the logic of borders, not supposed to have, you know, in the old days, we had chiefs, you know, maybe a chief or elder or a spiritual leader, but we didn't have no presidents and all that, you know, sergeant of arms and all this white stuff, you know, we didn't have none of that. But, you know, once you start getting Americanized, next thing, that's what you start doing. You start having, rolling with things in that nature, trying to be, you know, have president, vice president, you know, treasurer, secretary, sergeant of arms, you know, and different things like that. Well, these Sundances were never ran like that before, and that American flag was never permitted. But now it is. And these veterans are the ones doing it, you know? You know, and like I was at a Sundance, and they said, we have a veterans list. All of you need, all veterans need to go sign the list. You know, to me, that's a killer list. Because American veterans, that's what they did. They killed for the white man. They killed for the white man. That's what they did. They supported the white man. So go sign that killers list. Well, make an ex-felon list too. They hate ex-felons, you know, but ex-felons probably got more honor than them. Can you imagine what a jet with a bomb does? You know, say in Vietnam when these jets flew over and dropped a bomb on villages, killing 60, 100, 200 innocent people. And then they get medals for that, calling them heroes. You know, That's what the Americans do. Anyway, my point is this: make it real quick, and I'll be done with it. Is these sun dances are traditional, meant to be. You know, these powwows, even. You know, there's all kinds of events all over the country where you can go fly your American flag if you want. But I don't understand why they do it here. There, that's a real sign of Stockholm syndrome. So anyway, it's sad when you see a one of the last holots that never flew that flag suddenly raising the American flag at their sundance. You know, and you're over there. You always had respect and happy that there's one or two left that don't do that. And then suddenly, boom, it's raised up because these veterans go up there and talk on the mic and tell their big lie bullshit story about the flag. Why we flag. And then the other thing is using the American Indian movement for this reason. This guy was naming names, you know, of AIM so-called leaders that supported this American flag because we take it at Little Bighorn. That's their excuse, you know. And most people, original Aimsters, knew that flag was the enemy. And they talk about Buddy Lamont. Remember, Buddy Lamont got killed in Wounded Knee in 1973. That American flag killed him. They seen him out there and blasted him and killed him. Well, right after that, Wounded Knee ended. You know, he was supporting the Lakota people. He was supporting the American Indian movement, and they killed him. Once he's dead, he don't have a choice, right? So they draped him in an American flag and buried him after they killed him. Anyway, all this stuff is crazy, you know. And, you know, it takes one bad apple to ruin the rest. And we're starting to have lots of bad apples destroying our way of life, coming right in to the rest, right into the pocket of our culture, and burning a hole in it and sabotaging our way of life. You know, it's really sad if somebody wants to think about it. If you don't think about it, then it's no big deal, I guess. If it's all right with you, then it's all right with you. You know, but it makes me wonder, you know, how it's going to be. And then, like, I go over there and you hear these speakers, like, you go to these sun dances and outsiders come in and they set up camp. And when they set up camp in their brain, that's their camp. Don't trespass. In other words, they immediately put up borders. But, you know, they're still talking about, oh, we're a people without borders. We're a people this and that, you know. And here they are. They change real quick. They get possessive of their spots. So, to me, the way I see it is we have to watch out. We have to be careful what's going on. And, you know, that's if you care about our culture. If you don't care about our culture, big deal. Then go ahead. Might as well let them come in and take the rest of your booty. Because that's what you're doing. You're letting them come in and take your booty. You know, to see that, you know. But one day, maybe it won't be that way. Probably after you're gone in the spirit world. And when we check in on our journey to the spirit world and see our ancestors, you know, and you know, they're going to say, yeah, you were the ones who let them fly that flag. So, you know, you go stay over on that side. You know, throw you back out and send you over to Custer's side, wherever. I guess everybody has a place to be, you know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what goes on when you go to spirit world or if you even go there. But I know when I go, I don't have nothing to worry about as far as shaming my ancestors out who fought against that flag and against this government and against the invasive species. I don't have to worry about it, you know? And so I just go about life, but you guys can do that all you want. And just to move on a little bit, I was looking at this Westboro Baptist Church, you know, who said that Hawaii is going to be utterly destroyed on Sunday because, you know, their Hawaii did some things against their church. Westboro, that Christian church, they're kind of a what do you call them, rogue Christian people, you know. They picket at Sandy Hook Elementary School they say, you know, killing those kids or something, executing his judgment or something, you know. Some kind of weird stuff. But, you know, that invasive species has many sections of their societies. And they cover all bases. Like, some of them hate whites. Some of them go after Indians. Some of them go after the women, you know. Each one of them is after to destroy part of somebody's culture. That's probably what's coming in with this flag, you know. And I was looking at President, or that dude that used to be, what's his name? That used to be the president of the Washichu, Trump. Yeah, how they got him, threatening him with jail and all that. He ain't never going to go to jail. Just a big show, you know. You know, he does what the hell he wants, and he said that from the get-go. And so he does what he wants. He ain't worried about going to jail. He's still being mouthy. And, you know, that's the kind of leaders they have. I was looking at the leaders, our leaders, for the tribes and all them. They're usually people that don't have much intelligence and don't have much knowledge about traditional way of life, our culture and all that, you know. The real way, yeah. And they might even be Lakota speakers or look real traditional. They don't care. And then there's ones that actually don't know. But they're always the ones in office, you know? They're the ones in charge of your land you live on. They're in charge of the schools. They're in charge of money that comes in the res. They're in charge of the law. They're in charge of your entire life on the res, you know, and even off the res, you know. You could be an Indian from a tribe, but live off the res, and somebody in the tribe will say, "Oh, we can't help them because they live in the city," you know, and you know, because they got that kind of power. Anyway, let me go here and you know. See what's going on with Wayne and Philip.
Nothing much. Just the same old here in Ohio with people claiming to be Native and dressing up as Indians and wearing headdresses that they have no business wearing. And it's all been approved by the school district. I just got done posting a post about it. It was a long debate last night with these people that they just don't get it, these school mascots and nicknames. I was worried about you last night because you weren't on, and I'm like, oh, no, what's going on? I hope he's okay. So I'm glad you're back up and you had me worried there, buddy. Even Jennifer Blackout contacted me. Is he okay? So glad you're back on. Wayne, you there?
Is anyone there?
I'm not sure.
Wait. Yeah. You know, this it's kind of strange how things are here. But, you know, like, sure, Wayne's probably there. And, you know, and yeah, like I said, you know, suddenly I found myself having to recommit in something, you know. So that's where I was at, you know, Sundance. And, you know, being there and being in a circle and checking the people out and checking all the people that are doing their best to preserve the culture, you know. There's a lot of people still doing that, you know, and it's good. And all the kids, you know, and everything that's happening, so. You know, that's something good to see. And then, you know, and then also having my daughter being part of that, you know, that was a good thing. I was proud of. So we jumped in it and was really got, you know. Anyway, I was surprised, but I missed the show, and then there's no reception down there in that territory. So there's no way to solve a problem or even think of anything else but where you're at and what you're doing, you know. But, you know, it's quite an experience, you know. Every year I go and, you know, go support Sundances and be there. And it's been a long time since I actually jumped back in it, you know. So, and it wasn't even planting. So I say, you know, the spirits, you know, they're the ones pull the strings if you live that way of life. You know, that's why they say never, you know, because you never know. If you're living that way of life, you know, you never know. You could be sitting under that tree next thing you know, you know. You could be any place supporting and are praying for certain things and praying for the people and all that. And because it's a difficult life out there. And for someone my age and all that to jump back in doing something, then that means there's some concern, you know. And I do have concern because, like I said, you know, they come in, the American comes in, and they use Indians. And the Indians don't realize it. They think they're gung-ho, you know, and they throw names around. That's the worst thing, names of people that are dead that you can't go back and verify, you know. In the words of so, but, you know, you take someone like me, and I remember specifically the guy who started this one particular Sundance that raised an American flag recently in their Sundance. The guy who started this Sundance never flew that flag for a reason. He didn't want nothing to do with it. And I remember years ago talking to him a few years back before he left and telling him how proud I was that he's, you know, holding out. He said, no, he said, that flag's our enemy. It will never fly here. Wow. He's gone. And they raised it there. You know, and right away people come out. Yeah, he was, you know, he wanted to have that flag and blah, 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 you know. They made excuses when he ain't here. Ooh, you know. So, anyway, that's another one going down like that from what I see. You know, joining in with the ones that already do support that American flag. And what gets me is they do it. They use the veterans. The veterans. They say, our veterans. Well, it don't matter if they're ours or not. When you go support that Washichu, do I want to claim you? You know? Should I claim you? You're supposed to be on our side, but now suddenly you're over there with them, plain as day. And then caught using the excuse that veterans, that's why you're whipping out that flag. Well, yeah, go ahead, whip it up, put it in your house, whatever. But the Sundance is supposed to be for the people, not you. That flag ain't no better just because you hauled it around. You know, the thing is, what, you know, there's damage once you raise that flag. And if you don't see it, then something's wrong with you. You know, anyway, and when you talk like me against it or saying you don't like it, I become a bitter enemy, a troublemaker, and all that, you know. And, you know, they turn wicked. They turn violent. They'll come bomb your house, shoot you, you know, gang you, figure out how to get the tribe to throw you out, you know. Figure out how to get the, because they're usually connected, get the cops to come plant stuff on you or whatever. But that's how the people, once you have traitors like that, you know, we all know the story. Sitting Bull got taken out, Crazy Horse, a lot of leaders, Geronimo. That's what happens. Their own kind takes them out, you know. And, you know, so what can I say? Anyway, I don't want to spend all kinds of time on this and on that in particular, when we probably have other issues to talk about, you know, because a lot of times we never able to fully, you know, cover a lot of things because we get hung up on other situations, you know. But, you know, I was thinking about even Ben and Jerry's, remember, at the ice cream place, how they spoke up against the government and how they should support Indians, you know. I mean, there's some people out there that do, in fact, actually support our people. And there's people out there that actually do believe just like I do, or some of us, that's, you know, that there's a place for everything. I mean, why should we have, the only pure place we have left is Sundance's, and now we're going to start supporting the American? Because when you raise that flag, you're supporting them. Don't come baloney me and tell me, oh, you're doing it because we took that flag on Little Bighorn. That's baloney. You're doing it because you love that flag and because you got brainwashed, because you're a veteran and you think you're an American. Because every veteran I talk to, that's how he talks. He don't talk about the people like they're Lakota anymore. He says, yeah, our president, you hear him even saying, yeah, about time we bombed Iraq, about time we went over there and bombed this, or about time we did that. He uses the word we, joining in with them. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm talking about. You know, they join in with them and come up, but they stand on our side. Usually it's a person with a little bit prestigious name or something, you know, showed off more, drives a better Harley than the rest, drives a fancier pickup than the rest, lives better than the rest. Usually these guys that do this, I see them, they're not struggling like the people are. They usually work for the tribe or have some kind of good thing going for them. Are they good hustlers? Playing medicine man someplace and getting money off the Washichu, you know. So that's how it is. And, you know, it kind of really drifts me out how it is. And when you see last holdout start raising that American flag there, you know, kind of makes you wonder what's going on. And, you know, look at, we was talking about Navajo res. All over that res, they fly the American flag. But that res is suffered from no water in the majority of the places. And they still support that flag. Some of them even support Trump, support these presidents who are, have fresh water delivered to them. They don't even drink what's coming out of the water line. They have special water they get at the White House delivered all the time. You know, they're eating steak. They're living good, and you're supporting them. They're living good off of you, off you Navajos, or off you Lakota, or Apache, or whoever you are. You go around the world and look and see what's happening around the world. You know, one thing about those Canadian Indians, most of the ones I see, they don't march in protest with carrying flags like over here does. You know, I seen them protesting up in Rapid City about that hotel. They're marching down the street, and in the front of the protest there was a Lakota carrying an American flag leading it. I seen that crazy horse ride that them brewers started over there in Pine Ridge, and coming, and the lead horse is carrying the American flag, then an Ogallala flag, and then, you know. But like Vimber was talking, and I know this, and any one of us know this, we never have flags. We have staffs. We, our people went to war with the Washichu carrying a staff. And for thousands of years, they had staff at the Sundance, at Inipis or whatever. I don't even know why I have to even bring this up, you know, some of the stuff that's that goes on, you know, because it makes no sense that we have to even talk about it. It's like, you know, it's like a traditional family. The elder was traditional. All of his families supports Sundance, Lakota speakers, Inipi and all that. And then the elder dies and goes away. So suddenly one of the family members show up and say, you know, it's 4th of July or Veterans Day. We need to raise the flag. Grandpa will be proud of you for doing that. Or, yeah, he told me, you know, make up some, because the guy's dead. You can't, you know, go back and ask him, you know. What do you think about that? When somebody's dead and then people show up and say, yeah, he said it, you know. I mean, once somebody's gone, how can we go back and find out if they did say it? In most cases, you know, they never did say it. Like in the case I'm talking about, because I know the old guy, and I know how he thought. You know, most of the old people I know that were around before the 70s, they weren't into that American flag. They used to get mad at the kids when you started trying to tell you, you're not Washichu, so quit acting like it. And they would try to get you to talk the language. But for sure, they would scold you if you were acting too American, you know? So, I don't know what you guys think about that, but, you know.
I never knew that. It's interesting.
Yeah.
I think this is why it's important for elders to say what their wishes are when they pass, you know. This is, you know, and make sure several people know, I don't want that flag around me, or this is what I want done, you know, when I pass.
I'm going to be truthful and honest with you. Somebody gave me my father's flag. My father was a Korean War veteran, you know, and because I'm the oldest and he died, but I know this about my father. When I went into the military, he wasn't really proud of that. And you know what he told me? He said, never trust the Washichu. Then when I was getting shipped overseas, he told me, don't trust the Washichu. He kept always telling me that. He said, just come back and remember who you are. Don't let them take your soul from you.
Yeah.
And
that's what I think a lot of these veterans don't realize, that that's exactly what they do. that's, you know, I experienced it. You know, they brainwash you to believe that you're indestructible. And a lot of young men feel that way to begin with. You know, they feel like they can conquer the world. I know for myself, I did. I thought, you know, nothing can hurt me. And went in and, you know, I thought it was funny when I got myself kicked out. They put you in what's called recruit casual. It's where they supposedly train you to become a civilian again. But what they don't do is they don't deprogram you. Because that's what they're basically doing in military boot camp, is they're programming you. And then the programming continues after you graduate into whatever field and whatever they're training you to do. But they don't train you to become a civilian again. I thought, you know, after years of looking back at it, I thought it was a bunch of BS, because I didn't learn to become a civilian again. I was still had that mindset that I was indestructible, that I could go out and harm people and you know, and act a fool, basically. You know, what they don't realize, what, and this doesn't matter what nationality, whether you're native or not. People don't realize when they join that they are basically cannon fodder for the rich. They're the ones that start these wars, people of influence. And they don't go out and fight themselves. They don't join the battle. They send the young people and the poor people out there to fight for them. That's basically, you're being sent to die. And we're never even told what we're dying for, what we chose to give our lives up for. It's disgusting. It really is. And it's brainwashing. This rah-rah patriotism garbage.
Philip, when you were in the Marine Corps, right? Where'd you go to boot camp at?
Parris Island.
Oh, you went to Parris Island. Yeah. Yeah. I was what they call a Hollywood Marine. I went to Camp Pendleton. Our MCRD San Diego started out. But I remember everything. And I remember how I was treated, you know, because I was the only Indian in there, only Native, or, you know, they had Mexicans, Puerto Ricans, and everything else. I remember that. I remember my brother and my bro, they were in another battalion way on the other side. They were in 2nd Battalion. I was in 3rd Battalion. But I used to watch them going past. And I used to hear that drill instructor cussing out my brother all the time. "You goddamn savage. Whoa, 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 whoa." You know, because he wasn't swift enough. He wasn't sharp enough, you know. You know, in other words, he was kind of a sloppy guy. You know, he did march perfect and all that. And the same thing with me. And you know what a pit call is, right?
Yes.
You know, when you get in trouble, they give you a pit call. They take you someplace and they start, usually sand, they put you on your knuckles and start PTing you, physical training,
yep.
PTing, you know, on your knuckles, up and down, stand up, get down, roll over like dog. Get on all fours, bends and thrust forever, bends and thrust, squats, push-ups, and or sometimes they'll take you in a little room with no air in it and make you PT you in there until the air runs out. You're in there barely breathing, you know. And who's always in this place? Well, I noticed it looked like I was the only one in them. you know? Even though I ran the fastest out of the whole platoon I was in, I was the fastest, you know, not because I was tall either. I was the fastest. So I had some assets that the other guys didn't have, but I wasn't respected for that. But the white boys, you know, they were right there front and center. Yes, sir. No, sir. And they never got, most of them never went through the whole time without ever getting a pit call, you know. Yeah. And even rifle, you know, I shot expert, you know. I had all kinds of reasons to not be getting picked on. But I was always picked on. It was the most racist place I ever been. And when I left boot camp, well, first I had to go to another training after boot camp. You go home for a little leave, and you come back if you're a grunt, you know. In the Army, they call that infantrymen. In the Marines, they call it grunt, 0311. When you're a grunt, you go to another, more of a, it's another boot camp. It depends. They call it ITS or back ITR, Infantry Training Regiment or Infantry Training School, where they hone in on all your, you know, like teach you all the weapons, all, you know, it's a boot camp. But when you leave there, you know how to shoot every weapon, or supposed to anyway. And, you know, you go through all this warfare, repelling off helicopters and all kinds of everything, you know. So even there, they was treating me bad, you know. And that was in Camp Pendleton, a place called San Onofre. And then when you get done with that, you get your orders wherever they are, and you think, oh, I'm done with that. No more of that. You know, you get, like us, we got Westpac orders and ended up over there in Asia, wherever, Vietnam, wherever, you know, but it was all in that area, Saigon, wherever. Or maybe some guys went on a float and just, you know, because Marines is part of the Navy. So even over there, that never stopped. They was always bullying you. And the other cultures, I seen one Indian when I was there. And that Indian, you know, he was obeying everything. I mean, he was another platoon. I talked to him a couple times. I forget where he's from, you know. And this guy was an obeying Indian. He was sharp. He stood at attention, nose straight ahead, you know, chin up. But, you know, within a week or two, I seen him crawling on the dirt, getting pit calls and stuff, you know. You know, so what I'm saying is all these veterans you see at these powwows and all that, they was all licking boots one time or another, and they must be proud of that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because they want recognition at these events.
You know, but nobody knows that they was licking boots. And people that weren't licking boots, like me and stuff, you know, we were, you know, I even was in the brig a couple times, you know. Well, I was in the brig more times than that because if you show up late from leave, they call, what do they call that?
AWOL.
When you show up late, kind of AWOL, but there's another name for it. Yeah, it's a form of AWOL, but it's the same thing. You know, lock you up and treat you like crap, you know. And we're Indians, man. Maybe we ran out of gas.
Nah.
Maybe something happened, you know. Like me, I was supposed to report back to Camp Pendleton one time, and here my brother was drunk and took off in my car. So I didn't have a car back to Camp Pendleton. So I had to hustle a ride. And as soon as I showed up, I was late. So what did they do? March me straight to the brig, you know. You know, I'm sure I was out the next day, a couple of days later. But while I was in the brig, they were sure running me around, PTing me, you know.
Yeah.
But you see, what I'm saying is that was the most racist place I've been. And young kids are promised big things. When you talk to that recruiter, this guy shows up, because one showed up down here on the res. He was a Lakota, too. He showed up wearing dress blues, a Marine recruiter. You know, and here you see a Lakota showing up with dress blues. I mean, blue pants, you know, the Marine Corps dress blues, blue pants, spit shine shoes, you know. You know, all that, a recruiter going in and telling you all the things you're going to get for joining, you know. Well, after you go in and come out, think about what you got for joining. Think about it. Yeah, you learned how to shoot a rifle. Yeah, you traveled. Yeah, that's cool. You know, you was have your nose in somebody's butt over here. So you travel across the ocean, put your nose back in their butt over there. So yeah, you travel, but your nose is going from butt to butt. That's if you let them, you know. And most people, what I seen, that's how they live. Because when you get rank, how do you get rank, Philip? And I know Wayne, he was in the military too. How do you get rank?
I forgot.
You get rank by sucking ass.
Yeah, true. Or licking some more boots.
Or you're there so long, somebody comes and says, how come this guy ain't got no rank? Give him some rank if he ain't been in trouble. So, you know, like, I didn't have no rank. And one time when I became a chaplain's aide, they call it, but really his bodyguard, then he demanded I get some rank. So, you know, they bumped me up to E3, you know. But you see, that's because, in a way, when I look at it today, maybe Wakan Tonka was looking out for me by putting me over there with this religious guy, you know, you know, where I had a little break from that other baloney, you know, and
yeah.
He wasn't into me putting my nose in his butt, you know. he used to tell me, don't call me sir, you know, you don't need to salute me every time you see me, you know, just do it. So we both don't get in trouble, you know, like if we're out in public or something like that, you know. But in other words, I skated from being this guy's bodyguard for the whole time I was over there. So the later time, at first when I showed up, I wasn't that way, but you know. And we went out, and I used to have to go out and set up masks for him and all that, but was nothing, you know. Anyway, long story short, you know, I got a little break from that just because, you know, I got that assignment. But being a regular grunt man, they were on my ass. I mean, I was even having to fight them physically. When these young guys our young people want to get sent off to the military. Oh, and I know I'm going to get in big trouble for saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I feel bad for our women, young Lakota girls that go off to the military. Because once they go to the military, I mean, any Lakota can end up being, married or have a relationship outside of your culture. But 9 times out of 10, if you're a woman and you go to the military, you're coming home with something else. And there was one girl in Pine Ridge, few of them actually, but one in particular, you know, that I knew in Porcupine. She went in and ended up with 3 black kids, babies, you know. And we all know them. They were babies, cute babies, like everything else. But the point is, this guy left her. And after that, the poor girl, nobody, you know how people are, for some reason, when women do that, they no one wants to mess with them. But it happens to them all the time. You know, once they go off and do that, then that culture dumps them. Then they come back, and it's hard to find a Lakota man because Lakota, you know, man, don't want to mess with them. I mean, this girl asked me that. She said, why are men so childish? She really asked me because she was like a relative, but kind of friend. And she asked me, and I told her, I said, you know, I said, I hate to say it, but you're right. Our men are childish, but that's the way it is. And that's why I try to tell, you know, I even told my sisters, don't do that. You know, I mean, be real careful what you do, because a woman, it's unfair as all hell, but when a woman gets a stain, it's a harder thing for them to live by. And when they join the military, they come back stained as hell from one thing or another. You know, it's really sad. So when these recruiters come in talking, like one guy that was doing some work for me a couple of weeks ago, he's a young guy, he's asking me about the military. You know, I didn't want to say all kinds of bad stuff because, you know, once I start talking bad, people say, oh, he's a hater. You know, so a lot of times I know stuff, but I don't want to say nothing because I'll be under attack or this person, the person itself will turn on me. So rather than get involved like that, I just let them find out themselves. But I don't give no positive information. I don't say you should do it or you should, you know, that's, you know. Did you travel? Yeah, I traveled. Did you learn how to shoot this and shoot that? Yeah, I did. But I didn't want to sit there being all negative because once they'd even start bringing my name up, how negative I am, you know, then somebody else jumps on, goes and tells them, no, you join. And for sure they're going to join now because somebody else, but don't listen to that a-hole, you know. Don't listen to him, you know. So I always leave enough room to let them know that it's for them to find out. You know what I mean? Maybe they'll like it. Maybe they won't. But I do tell them this. I do tell them this. When you join that means you're supporting their occupation of us. Keep that in mind. You know, I do tell them that, but most people don't understand that anyway. So goes in one ear and out the other, you know. But
I haven't had that opportunity to, you know, where somebody asked me about joining the military. And I think, you know, I don't know, I would have to give my honest opinion of it just because of my experience. And tell them, pray on it. You got to pray on it. You know, Spirit will help you make a decision. But with that, I'm going to have to get going here off the show because I have a job to finish tomorrow, a flooring job. So I got to get to bed. So it was great to hear you guys.
Who are you going to floor?
Oh, God.
Yeah. All right. Well, take care then. Good to have you here. You know.
You guys have a great night.
You know. Yeah. And with that being said, you know, I'd like to, you know, unless somebody else has more info on, you know, thinks that that's a worthy topic to go into, you know, but I just wanted to touch base basically because of how I see how our people are supporting the American occupation. It's not a flag. They're supporting American occupation. And when you support the American, most people that are doing good, like you drive through the res and you see people having nice homes, nice cars, full tank of propane, boat, fishing boat, you know, RTVs or ATVs all over, you know, of course, they're happy they're Americans. But when you pass by and see the rest of the people living in old beat-up trailer houses and all that, and like at Sundance, seeing these kids running around selling sage for $5 a bundle, and Sundance is over, so once it's over, they ain't getting no more money till next year. You know? The general society of Indians they live a sorry life. You know? That's all there is to it. You know? Like last winter, who was getting wood and who wasn't getting wood? Who was struggling and who wasn't struggling? Well, I can tell you, because I sit there and watched it. You know? And it didn't matter that about how old you are, an elderly, or if you're sick, terminally ill, blind, or whatever. None of that matters. You know what I mean? But I don't cry about it. So I do my best to help out those people that don't have help. That's why I got into the trailer moving business. And, you know, I always end up on the bad end of the deal with that, you know. But I remember years ago when we first started getting those free trailer houses and delivering them, it wasn't that bad because we were hauling empty trailers and the majority of them were already set up for travel. They had decent tires and just pull off the hub, pack grease in so they, you know, grease the bearings and, you know, and everything was good. Just unhook them and haul them from Colorado, Utah, wherever you got them, and bring them to the res and deliver them to whoever was getting them. You know, and that's why I started doing that, you know, because it was, and I wasn't making no money at all. I mean, people say, well, nobody does stuff for free. Well, I did. You know what I mean? And it didn't bother me none. You know, I'm not saying I spent my own money because sponsors supported it. I had some on the radio show, you know, sometimes years back. And sponsors, you know, yeah, if they knew I was going to be in Colorado breaking down trailers for a day or two, yeah, they got me a motel room. They sent me some money for to eat on the way. And if there was any change left over after delivering the trailer house for fuel, they let me keep it, you know. You know, which would never was amount, maybe $90, something, you know. So basically, and a lot of times I came home broker than when I left. But the point is, I felt happy when I took these trailer houses to Indians, you know. And later on, I passed by, see this trailer house with a big sign, you know, the Lakota had his name spread out, like the Joneses or something, you know, that's where they live. And I seen that, you know, fixing it up, putting fence around, you know, making garden. I like that. So that's what I got out of it. And I did that for a few years. And the only reason why I quit doing it was because I started getting it turned into political politics, you know. So it didn't work no more. So then when that happens, you stop getting funded, you know. People don't want to fund you or fund these projects when they're getting accused of like most of them got accused of raising money for themselves. When I never dealt with anybody that was ripping people off, you know, the process that I used, there's no way, you know. First of all, somebody wants a trailer house. I say, tell this people that support it, hey, so-and-so wants a trailer house. So now they know. So how much is it going to cost? Well, you know how much it costs my truck to go to Colorado and back. You know how, you know, so they knew the cost. So they sent it, and that's all they sent. And when I delivered it, the people who got the trailer called them and said thank you, told them thank you. So they knew they got the trailer. They knew their money was, you know, went to a good cause. And the people they got the money from were able to communicate with the person who received the trailer. So they could say, yeah, I got this trailer. And then I'm over there sending receipts, letting them know how much it costs me to do this. So there was no way anybody could rip off. Am I out? No sound again or what? John Davis, or can you guys hear me or what? You know? How about Wayne? Anybody? Jennifer?
I'm here. Listening.
Okay, so you hear me, right? Okay, because someone's out in the chat said no sound. All right. I can't tell, so. All right. Thank you, John. So, anyway, that's how we did it. And then when we all start getting accused of doing this and that, then we quit doing it. Then it went away. So I only do it like more personal if someone really needs something, but you know, I don't do it for no profit. And I just keep it like that, you know. The whole thing about our people, we're always poor, and that's why I help them. But there's people out there that work for BIA, the tribe. The other day I was at a gas station in Martin. Somebody drove up in some Indian drove up in a mean Harley. I mean, I'm talking about a full dress Harley. Now, these bikes are running $40,000, $50,000 nowadays. They're not like, I remember I had a Harley, cost $2,000. I thought that was a lot. I had another one for $900, Harleys. But, you know, we had to fix them ourselves back in them days. You know, points, had points and the chains and, you know, something went wrong, you fixed it yourself. So, but this is a full dresser. So I got really nosy and, yeah, that's a nice bike. The guy was all proud, big, long, you know. And I looked at him. He had mean leather on. He was a Indian, too. I said, yeah, what year is that? Well, 2020. Yeah, that's a nice bike. I really praise him. I wish I could have one of them, you know, making him feel good. Gee. I said, so you getting ready to go to Sturgis? No, I'm going to work. Where you work at? He works at BIA. So right away I realized he's got him a job. And I didn't want to ask him no more, but I know he didn't pay cash for that bike. And I know John Davis is out there. He rides bike. John, how much does one of these new full dress Harleys cost nowadays? And if you're not paying for them in cash, how much a month are you paying for them? I tell you what, it's like having a new car. You know? I'll see what John says if he hear me, you know. But, you know, the only way, if you're getting a good job, and I'm not knocking somebody for having a job. I'm not lazy like that, you know. If you have a job and making a living, that's a good thing. But the point what I'm saying is, who gets the credit when you have a good job? He said he won't ride a Harley too much, you know. What are these food dressers running? 40,000, 50,000, 30,000? You know, they don't even have chains no more. A lot of them have little axles on them and stuff. They don't even use belts no more. You know, kind of like cars having a CV joint. You know, anyway, long story short, I don't have nothing against somebody having a job. I don't have nothing against our people having education. I mean, that's good to get education. It's good for our children to have education. But all I'm saying is, who are you going to give the credit to? Who gets the credit? Uncle Sam? You got the job because you're a supporter of Trump, or you're a supporter of Biden, or you're a Democrat or something. If you were just a normal person like, you know, a Cherry Chasa, would you still have that job? Would you have that bike? Or what? You know, that's all I'm saying. Because the majority of the Indians on the res aren't living that good. And they're not too much into the government. They're usually upset with the government. You know? Because looky here. We was talking yesterday. You know, and they're talking today, a loudspeaker, about Leonard Peltier. Here, he's still sitting in prison. By the United States of America. He's just one Indian, so why should we worry about him? Why should we worry about one Indian? Why do we worry about one Indian? It's not because it's Leonard Peltier, but it's because he is a native. It's because he is the Indian. It's because he is being held for something he didn't do. It's because they had to blame somebody, because the two guys that admitted doing it and said they shot because they were getting fired upon, you know, beat it. They walked. So that's why Leonard is in there. That's just one example. The federal prison system is filled up with a lot of people that really didn't do much wrong, but just because they're Indian, don't have money to bail out. Indians don't usually get bail, and they usually don't get ORs, if anybody knows what an OR is. Own reconnaissance release, promise to appear. Some do, but very rarely. If you catch a felony, you ain't getting out. They're not going to let you out. So, you know, what do you think of that? Crazy, huh? So why should we support a system that discriminates against us? And even all the rights that the Constitution has for normal people, freedom of speech, you know, First Amendment, Second Amendment, whatever amendment you want to talk about. You know, none of them really apply to our people. Because the minute we take the wrong step, we're locked up. I watch these videos on YouTube of people they get for murder. A lot of these guys, they know they murdered somebody, and they just let them stay out. And their excuses, they say, we don't have enough evidence against them. We can't prove it. But when an Indian does something, they don't care if there's evidence or not. They yank him in, lock him up. And when he goes to trial, the jury finds him guilty, whether they're innocent or not. Because I know a bunch of them like that. That's what happened to Leonard Peltier, though. You know, two guys got found not guilty, and here's Leonard. He gets found guilty for the same thing. How did that happen? Well, why did the other two get found not guilty? Why did two Indians get found not guilty? It's because they went to trial in an area where the Indian wasn't so well known over there, you know, like over here, or North Dakota. North Dakota, South Dakota, and these Nebraska, Indian is looked at as a bad guy the minute he gets arrested. There's some states out there or some communities out there that don't really know much about Native Americans. And Native Americans are generally quiet in their areas. So they do have another opinion. Not everywhere Indians are loud, making noise, drinking and all that. There's communities, you know, where Indians live in other states and cities where they don't even notice Indians living there because in general, a normal Indian guy that has a family will work and not get nobody's way. You know, my father worked, didn't give to have a good job, but he worked. Came home, gave my mom his check, took her groceries. She gave him cigarette money and gas money for the week. You know, and that's how we lived. We weren't a trouble to the community. And me and my brothers used to go door to door asking if we could pull weeds for quarters. So the communities liked us because we were working. You know, we went out and worked. We worked. I even had a paper route. Remember the kind you see on TV, ride a bike, throw the newspaper in the front yard? Well, I didn't do that. I used to porch my papers. I didn't just throw it over there. I always took my time. I'd even go through a fence and make sure their newspaper was safe on their porch. I always did that. So we lived quietly in our neighborhoods. And in general, Indians, natives, that's how they live, in communities. They're not like other cultures that Friday night it's party time. Saturday night it's party time again. And Sunday is hangover time, you know. And Monday it is show up for work, beat up, you know. You know, my father, he'd sneak out and have a couple, you know, get drunk. My mom would get mad at him, but not that much. My mom had the reins on him, you know. Like I said, in general, in the cities, and I knew lots of Indian families because being native, we knew all the Indian families. My mom was friends with all the rest, and, you know, they got together. They did powwows and, you know, things like that. And in general, they weren't the kind of people that caught attention. So basically, our people aren't really attention getters. Anybody disagree with that? I think that we do have good conduct of society in general. We have worse conduct here on living on our people than, yeah, there's people riding around drunk, partying, making noise, you know, running back and forth to Kilgore or wherever they can get booze, you know. Then they have drugs for some reason. People in the res have more drug problems and alcohol problems than people out in the society. But even on the res, it's a certain number of people, the same ones that always do this. So, anyway, that's the way we live, you know. We're, in general, we have no reason to thank the American government for our way of life. We're basically a hindrance. They are a hindrance to our way of life. You know? And so normally when we go out in society, we try and stay out of people's way. And we get no favors from them. And maybe there's some of you that think different. I'd like to hear from you if you have a different experience than what I'm talking about. Now, if you live up in Lakota Homes, that's more of a community of Indians. You know what I mean? So there's more trouble occurring in there. But there's Indian families that live outside of town, and nobody knows them. I know some of these people. I've been down their house, you know. I know an Indian guy, him and his wife, live up there in the Black Hills. Trying to think of the name of the town. And they live out of the off the radar, everybody else. But at the same time, they're not supporting the American occupation because they Sundance. And the guy works, his wife works, and also he sells arts and crafts, and he's a sculptor. So I see Wayne's not there. Let me see. I was trying to look at another issue that our people was talking about in the past, you know, because there's a lot of things that happen with our people. Let me see here. There was something I wanted to check out. Anyway, it's like this, you know. Where is that information I wanted to share? You know, someone's reading about how he was talking about how there's white, I hate that we use the word white again, but Europeans, they're the most likely person to have suicide murder. A guy murders his whole family and then kills himself. There's a lot of that, you know. And that's sad, you know. One guy got his three sons, made him stand up. They were young, so they obeyed him. And he shot him, gunned him down with his rifle. And there's a lot of other news things like that occur. And it's sad that they do that, you know, that they're out there so stressed with life that they're fighting and killing each other. And that's what's happening, Democrats fighting Republicans and all that. And get in on that and join the side. They join in on the, you know, they pick a side. Well, I'm Democrat. You know, I'm this. I'm that, you know. You know, I was talking about the Navajos earlier about their support for the American government. And they really support the American government. But the bad thing about it is they're the worst ones having water rights. Some people at one Sundance, they got stomach poison, or I don't know if it's poison, but they all said they got sick from drinking water that came out of the pump at the Sundance. And I believe that. I believe that we're, you know, we don't get the best water, you know. We don't get the best, everything's a struggle with our people. What we get out of the water pipe, no telling what's in it. I remember in Pine Ridge, you know, they were worried about radiation and all that, and it was true. They say Lake Angostura and some of them lakes have a high content of radiation in them. and we live here drinking that stuff. And the Navajos have that problem. They ain't getting water, and they're not, the government isn't helping them. And a normal person with common sense can say, why aren't they getting water? Well, they're upstream from the Colorado River, so they have more access to the Colorado River than somebody else. Why aren't they getting water? And they live in areas where snow is abundant, so where's the moisture? But for some reason, they have no water, and they're struggling. When they do that, who do you blame it on? When we have issues on our res, who do we blame it on? Do we blame it on ourselves? Because most of us are just going along with the program. Whatever happens, happens, you know. We have Kamad Day, we show up for Kamads. We expect the water's coming, so we drink it. You know, most of us have very little income. Some are on retirement. Some are on SSI and barely. And I figure the Navajos are the same way. So why is it that they're supporting the U.S. government that much more than the rest? You know, why is it like that? You know, I was looking at another issue where people going to bars, the water they get in bars is contaminated. So people are getting drunk, but they're getting so drunk they don't even know they're getting bad water. So I hope that in the future, if you're going to support the American government, you try to at least get something out of it. You know, try and get something out of it. That's all I can say. I can't tell you to turn this way or that way, because you're not going to do it anyway. But since you're supporting the American government, you know, try to get something out of it. Try to do something that benefits your children. You know, I know one thing, living as an individual, I myself have to do what I can to do things, you know, whether it's fixing tires, even at my old age, even changing somebody's starter or doing some kind of mechanic work or whatever to make money. I mean, even making some moccasins if somebody wants to do beadwork. We have to do something. Like I said, these young kids are running around the Sundances because a lot of sage this year. So they're making money selling sage in bundles. You know, we got to do something, because the government ain't going to help you get no Harley. Because you got to have special qualities to work for the BIA or even work for the tribe. You got to be in some kind of family, you know, some kind of family member to do that. Yeah, life ain't easy, tell you that much, you know. Life is pretty wicked, tell you the truth. And let me see here. I was just thinking about, you know, like these Sundance songs, and the people that come, a lot of white people coming to Sundances, and you know, they're not scared to ask the question. They come up and ask you anything, you know. Where are you from? You know, who's your dad? Who's your mom? Did you go to school? Where do you work? How much did your car cost? You know, do you pay for this? You know, they just come asking a million questions. And they show up in the Sundances. There's a lot of whites, or there I go again, you know, Europeans, you know. And they go there and I don't know if they're trying to get information or they're just looking for something different or if they're what their deal is, you know. But I tell you one thing, where people are curious about us. People are real curious about our way of life. And there's a lot of them showing up at these Sundances. And then in one Sundance in particular, they're all given jobs at the Sundance. Some are head of security. Some are the Eapaha, you know. When you give them the power, when the Sundance chief, if you call him that, tells them to do this, they do the job good. So they'll come right up to a kid or somebody and say, you know, you got to be quiet. The chief is speaking, you know. And they uphold rules really solid, and it offends people. But there's a lot of them showing up, and they're leaving with false information. They get the wrong information about what we're really about because the guy who's they're going there, their chief, is using them for money, so he's letting them think whatever they want, you know. We have a lot of culture left in our world, and I'd like to be able to keep that. I hope we can. I hope that our people appreciate that. And like I said, I hope that you can go home and try to preserve all the things we do have. You know, and I would like to see a good, strong effort on, I was telling people, like, you know, they were singing songs, and some of these, there was some from South America that came to sing that, and they hear these words, what does that mean, you know? You know, they're saying "Omakiayo," you know. Oh, that's, you know, they're asking for help, you know. And they're trying to learn our language because they lost their language. And I tell them, you know, you should learn your language and learn about how we're all here. But I'm proud that we have a culture that's strong enough that other people come. And I hope that, you know, we appreciate that. Instead of not appreciating it and trying to be more American. You know? I was looking at I was just looking back at some things here. Let me see, where is it? If I find it, I was looking at how a guy, Cherokee, how he was kind of making fun of people, you know, because we don't make money. And he was questioned why do they sell those hatchets, those tomahawks that they sell at football games. And he was really proud of that, you know. Let me see if I could find that, because anyway, let me
okay.
See.
Okay, okay. Chief, you are here because?
I just come up to see what Reddy is doing on your show and tell you that there's a lot of things happening now and in the country, and I've heard more here today that hadn't heard in a long time. I am the chief of the Eastern Cherokees. We live on reservation because it's our choice. Matter of fact, our land was taken from us. Part of our tribe was marched to Oklahoma, the Cherokee Nation. We actually bought our land back from the state of North Carolina.
Now, I understand that you also have a business and you all produce some of those tomahawks and things?
Not only tomahawks. We have a plant that's been in operation for about 45 years. It produces, excuse me, about 300 different items. We employ about 300 people year-round from that plant. Mm-hmm. We also have two other plants on our reservation that the tribe put together themselves that we employ our people. Mm-hmm. I've heard from the panel and from the audience about racism, about poverty. I'll tell you, and about the Bureau of Indian Affairs, which is a nasty word to be said in the Indian country. But the Bureau wouldn't be there if we didn't let them be there. Matter of fact,
point I wanted you to address specifically was whether or not you felt that the mascots and all the things that you produce are offensive.
Not to our tribe, they're not. They can moan and groan all they want to, but I laughed all the way to the bank. we make the tomahawks. Last year, we was going to lay off a few people from our plant. When it got where the Braves looked like they was going to get into the playoffs, we sold about 500,000 additional tomahawks. It's not nothing. It's something that kids play with. And believe me, I was raised on a reservation. And when we played Cowboys and Indians, most of the time we was fighting about who was going to be the cowboy. Because in here, we make moccasins. We make tomahawks. We make shields. We make bow and arrows.
Can I ask you a question, please? What is your money going to do about the generation that you leave behind? Because if you go, that money is going to go, and you're leaving that. What are you giving to the generation that comes after you? Because that's what we're saying. We do breed. Yes, we do have children. I have two children. But I want them to grow up knowing that they are a part of American history. They are Americans.
Lady,
they are the history of America.
We teach our kids our history. We teach them our heritage. We put on a play each year for you white folks.
You are putting on a play. That's right.
Wait a minute. You got yourself there. We put on a play each year for you white folks to show you about the Trail of Tears, about that awful tragedy thing that happened to us in the 1800s. But we're not going
to
let that keep us in poverty.
Well, you don't have
when
to
we leave
poverty.
Here, as you say, when we leave here, our kids are going to know what it means to work and make a living and do for themselves. If you go around, you'll find out from the Bureau of Indian Affairs and everybody else that our tribe, they can't discriminate against us in our town because we own the town.
Well, you see, the reason why I played that is because it was talking about how, you know, he supports, you know, like, in a way, I guess you can say he supports selling out because, you know, they got money in the bank. So that's why they do that. They sell these tomahawks, and the rest of the country's fighting against mascots. But this guy here is taking advantage of that demand for the tomahawks. You know, so he don't care about the mascots. And he says his people don't complain about it either. So, you know, like our people, Lakotas, what if we did that? Some of us do that. I mean, some of our people, but they do it on a small scale. They run around and make money being medicine man or doing that. But what I'm saying is this guy totally is for the people to make money any way they can. You know, no matter what it is you're doing. And in this case, selling tomahawks, and, you know, which isn't that bad. At least he ain't supporting them doing something worse, you know. I guess support, and them making tomahawks isn't a big thing, you know. And even though the rest of the country, the Indians, are fighting against the mascot, this guy's supporting it, and his tribe is doing it. Well, the Lakotas, for some reason, like, we could have took the Black Hills money and ran with it. You know, like I said, laugh all the way to the bank, each one of us. But once we spend the money, it's over and done with. What if these COVID funds we got, what if that was what we got for the Black Hills, this COVID money all of us got, you know, what, $2,000 or something like that? What if that was the payout for the Black Hills? Because if we did take money for the Black Hills, that's after they spread it out, that's probably all it would be, you know, a couple thousand dollars a piece. And then once it's spent and over with, like, now we're done, we spent that COVID money. What if we did that? You know, what if we did that? Now we don't have the Black Hills. Have the Black Hills because we made a deal and accepted that money. For some reason, our people stood strong and wouldn't take it. All of us, for some reason. You know? And that's why, yeah, they got money. They made money off all this stuff they did. But at the same time, they're nobody. You know, they're like the rejected. They're rejected from all the other tribes. Well, they don't care because, you know, they're Cherokee and they're used to living the way they do anyway. They're used to running with the Washichu, living like them, you know, being hillbilly like them and everything else. So it's no big thing for them. It's no change. But if we did that, there'd be a hell of a change. If we submit it to, like, I was talking how they raised the flag up at some Sundance and never did that before. If we did all that stuff, we'd pay dearly. Because right now we wouldn't have the Black Hills. We'd have sold out our homeland. And what's next after that? You know, once we do that, I'm sure what they'll do is come over and say, you know what, we paid you fair and square. We don't owe you nothing. So now there's no more Indian reservation. So everybody, all the Americans move in on our Indian reservations, buy up the land, and we're homeless people like Skid Row homeless, because we don't own the land no more. That's why it isn't good for us to be that way. Anyway, looks like we got to get ready and go. If any of you want to make a comment, you can. Our game. And thank you, John Davis. And, yeah, you could go to Sundance, John. You know, there are Sundances that, you know, because you've been a supporter of our people. And, you know, I know people that do things without support, without wanting something personal gain out of it. You know, but see, that's good heart, how you explain yourself. And anyway, for the rest of you, we're going to have to take off. And I wish you the best for this week. And it's already August. Next thing you know, winter's coming back. So with that, we're going to take off. Doksha ke.
Doksha ke.
You know, your son should die at all.
No more pain and no more sorrow.